So there are two passages to read this morning, starting with Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 1 to 7. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And turning now to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Angela, for reading for us. Do keep your Bibles open there at Psalm 23, or keep your tabs open on your browser window if you've got the Bible readings open on an electronic device. You might find it helpful to click in the top right-hand corner of your screen onto speaker view, just to make it easier to focus in and avoid distractions so that you can really focus in what we're looking at this morning. It's great to be coming back to Psalm 23. These are some of the most famous words in the Bible, and it's great to be going through this great psalm a verse at a time and really digging deep into the riches of what God says here. Let me pray for God's help. We're going to be focusing in on verse 3 today. Let me ask God to help us as we really spend time reflecting on these incredible words. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who speaks, that you are our good shepherd, who leads us and guides us by your good voice. Father, we pray this morning that we would have ears to hear you speak and hearts that are willing to follow for your most glorious name's sake. Amen. Pretty well, we've already begun to think a little bit this morning about lost and found. And you'll notice the reading that we had from Luke chapter 15 is all about being lost and being found. But I want to start by asking you this question. Have you found yourself? Have you found yourself? You see, in our culture, we're constantly being encouraged to find our true self. There are all sorts of websites available to help you do this. There's even specific ones for lockdown, finding your true self during lockdown. And if that's not a phrase you've come across before, let me give you a little definition from someone from the popular website Quora, describing what finding yourself means. Finding yourself is searching for your purpose in life, the reason of your existence. It's knowing yourself through your priceless daily experiences. It's a learning where you are the student, you are the teacher, and the subject being taught is also you. And the classes are held 24/7 throughout your life. Another user of the website Quora defines it like this. It's completely up to you to decide what you think finding yourself means. You can even change your definition if you get a different point of view. You maybe only know what finding yourself means after you've found yourself. Wow. I mean, it's hardly surprising that we're confused about how we find ourselves when the definition is so broad and changeable. But it seems to encompass all sorts of things, our passions and skills, our fashion sense, our hobbies, our sexual orientation, our gender identity, our political identity, our online persona, our offline persona, our career, and what we want to pursue in life. If you like, everything is on the table. No wonder that we feel so confused. So many people in our culture feel lost and confused. And ultimately, this pursuit of finding ourselves, I think, ends up feeling helpless and hopeless, with a life that often feels purposeless and pointless, because you never really reach the end goal of finding yourself. Now, I think at times, probably over the last few months, we've all felt like that to some extent. Perhaps COVID-19 and its impacts has caused us all to question whether the things that we're living for, the priorities that we've put in place, are really worthwhile things to be living for. Can they bring wholeness, completeness, and satisfaction? Some of the things that we've been living for, our careers perhaps, have been put on hold or furloughed. Are the things that we've been living for truly worth living for? Where can we find rest and peace? Well, as we return to Psalm 23 this morning and interact with King David's experience of God's shepherding care, what we're going to see again is our need for God's care. We'll see our lostness, the fact that when our culture says we need to find ourselves, it's expressing a reality that we are lost. We're going to see our need for God to come and find us and bring us back home to a place of safety and comfort. We'll also see God's abundant willingness and his ability to do just that. The first thing I want us to see this morning then is that we are lost sheep who need Jesus to find us. We're lost sheep who need Jesus to find us. Psalm 23, verse 3, David writes, "He restores my soul." The he there is God. He restores my soul. David is saying that he has found or been found by God. The voyage of self-discovery that we've been talking about is a fruitless endeavor. It will and does leave us restless and wandering. But as the famous theologian Augustine famously said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." Our heart is restless until it finds rest in God. The question for all of us this morning then is, do you have a restless heart this morning? Or has your heart found rest and restoration in Jesus? I think when we hear someone talking of having their soul restored, that's something we all want, isn't it? To be refreshed, restored, made new. But if this psalm is going to be more than just nice poetry or sentimental words or to put on a poster, it's important to be clear exactly what this care looks like and how we can actually experience God's care personally. So what exactly is it that David has in mind when he says in verse 3 that God restores my soul? Well, I think there are two main aspects to it. The first is that God brings us back when we're lost, as we saw in Luke chapter 15. We'll come to that in a moment. But also that God refreshes and renews us when we're weak. So if we are his people, he wants to keep restoring us, renewing us, refreshing us. And the way that he does that is by leading and guiding us. And we'll come onto that in the second part of our talk this morning. Now, the word to restore in verse 3 finds its roots in the Hebrew to return. So when David is talking about his experience of being restored, the first thing he has in mind is that he was a lost and wandering sheep that needed to be brought back into God's flock. Now, as we begin to reflect on that theme in the rest of the Bible, it becomes clear that, as we saw earlier in our 3-minute slot, we're all at some level like lost sheep. Remember those words from Isaiah chapter 53. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have all wandered away from the God who made us, thinking that we know where to find better pasture, thinking that we'll be better off on our own, plotting our own course in life, finding ourselves. But as any sheep that goes wandering off from the flock soon discovers, actually it's not all it's cracked up to be on your own as a sheep. Food becomes pretty hard to find, shelter hard to come by, protection of our shepherd is completely gone. You find yourself cold, hungry, vulnerable, and all alone. And unfortunately, sheep, so I'm led to believe, are not particularly good navigators. Once they've wandered off from the rest of the flock, they can't make their own way back. They wander aimlessly and hopelessly. That is, unless the shepherd comes and finds them. Unless the shepherd comes and finds them, they will die, lost and alone. Now remember, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We are all lost and wandering. And that's why when our culture is so keen to tell us to find ourselves, we need to recognize that it is telling us that we're lost. It's echoing what the Bible says. There's a recognition all around us that we're lost and wandering and trying to discover where truth, meaning, satisfaction, care, and security can be found. But just like sheep, we're terrible navigators. The places we roam to when we're on our own might bring us a kind of crumb of satisfaction, a glimmer of purpose to our lives. But just like those lost sheep, we need the good shepherd, Jesus, to come and find us. That's where Luke chapter 15 comes in this morning. If you've turned away from it, why not flick to Luke 15 with me now? Now, as we join this little snippet of Jesus' life, in verses 1 and 2, we find Jesus is being criticized by the religious bigwigs of his day for basically spending time with the wrong people. He's eating with sinners, those who clearly didn't live up to the moral standards of this the religious elite who were critiquing him. But Jesus explains it like this, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." You see, Jesus is saying that each of us, although we're lost, we have a shepherd who cares for us and who is coming to seek after us. The sinners that the sinners and the tax collectors that the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus for hanging out with needed him to come and find them, to bring them home, to bring them to safety. And the reality was the Pharisees who were grumbling needed Jesus to do the same for them too. They just didn't see it. And despite our culture's promises that we can somehow find ourselves, we will never find home unless Jesus comes and finds us. We will never find true meaning, satisfaction, and life in all its fullness, until we find rest in Jesus. The incredible thing is that Jesus is seeking you today. He's calling your name. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't yet responded to Jesus' call, why not do so this morning? He's offering you care and protection and love, a life that will last forever. Perhaps you have responded to Jesus' call in the past, many years ago, but you know in your heart of hearts that you've started to wander off again, to look elsewhere for meaning and satisfaction. Well, stop wandering. Stop wandering aimlessly through life, moving from one thing to another, finding that it doesn't deliver, and then moving on to the next. Come home to Jesus. It would be a delight to Jesus. Did you see when Jesus finds the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And verse 7 tells us there will be a party in heaven over one lost sheep that is brought home. So what's stopping you from being found by Jesus today? Now, if you do listen to Jesus' voice for the first time this morning, do let us know. We'd love you to get in touch with us and leave your contact details so that we can follow up with you and help you as you start this journey of having Jesus as your good shepherd. Now, I know there are many here with us this morning who've responded to this call of Jesus many years ago, who may well be feeling lost because of all that's going on at the moment, because of the situation, the circumstances that we're living through that are leaving us confused and disorientated and weary. Well, Psalm 23 reminds us that not only does Jesus find us when we're lost, he also refreshes and renews us when we're weak and weary. Jesus' offer of restoration for our souls is for us as well today. If you're weak and weary, come to Jesus. Let him feed you and nourish you and restore you from the inside out. And I think one of the main ways that Jesus keeps on restoring us day by day is by leading and guiding us. That brings us to our second main point this morning. And that is that we're vulnerable sheep who need Jesus to guide us. We were lost and we've been found, but we still remain vulnerable. Vulnerable sheep who need Jesus to guide us. That comes, that brings us to the second part of our verse in Psalm 23. David's experience as he writes this psalm is of God's daily care. When he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, he's saying that having rescued him, having brought him back from being lost, every day, every moment, the Lord is leading and guiding him, showing him the right paths to walk. That is the paths that are for his good and the paths that are good and pleasing to God. You see, shepherding is a 24/7, 7 days a week job. And Jesus cares for us 24/7, 7 days a week. Jesus cares for us when we lie awake in the dead of night, filled with anxious thoughts about the future. As much as he does as we're sat at our office desk or our makeshift home office desk, struggling to connect to the various applications that we need to do our job from home. You see, this whole topic is a really significant one, God's leading, guiding care. And I think it can be one that we often get a little bit confused by. How is it that God leads and guides us? How can we know if we're walking on the right paths that God has for us? What if we walk on the wrong paths? Does that put us outside of God's love and favor somehow? And is the right path always an easy path? You see, some people have been led to expect that they will hear the voice of God directly, speaking to them at every point of decision, revealing one particular course of action over another, like some kind of spiritual sat-nav, calling out the directions for each day. But although there are occasions in the Bible where we see God speaking specifically to individuals and telling them to do certain things or not to do certain other things, we need to be really clear this morning. That is not the normal Christian experience. When David says of God, he leads me in paths of righteousness, he's not saying that every day he receives a hand-delivered schedule from God with a minute-by-minute breakdown of how he's to spend his time. Neither is he saying that at key decision points, those kind of crossroad moments when we're trying to choose between one course of action or another, you know, should I take this job here or that job there? Should I marry this person or not? Those big decision moments, as much as we might like it, the Bible isn't saying that even at those moments, there's going to be a booming voice from heaven that's going to give us a clear answer one way or another. Or even necessary that we'll get a sense within us that one particular way is the right way to go. That's not to say that this never happens or could never happen. We don't want to limit or constrain the infinite God of the universe, but that's not to be our expectation. That is not God's normal way of leading and guiding. And we also need to be a little bit cautious and wary of our feelings and our instincts when it comes to decision making as well. Because as Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things. As we saw in the book of Galatians a few weeks ago, there is a battle going on in our hearts between our flesh, our natural, sinful, rebellious desires, and the Spirit of God, who wants to lead us in ways that are pleasing to the Lord. We're being torn in two different directions. And so we have to be rightly cautious when it comes to our feelings and our instincts. We may be favouring one course of action over another. It might be for good godly reasons, because the Spirit is prompting us to, but we may be favouring one course of action over another because it actually fits with a selfish or sinful desire within our hearts. We are vulnerable sheep. Our hearts are deceitful. Think about if you're being offered a promotion at work. Whether you're going to accept it or not, some of the things that might be going on in your heart, you might be thinking, well, yeah, that'd be a great way for me to have more power and prestige. That'd be potentially a negative reason for wanting to take that on. But you might be thinking, well, maybe I can be a positive force for good for the sake of the gospel here. I can have a positive influence on the workforce that I'm being given to supervise. Or when it comes to our money, we might be thinking, yeah, I'd like more money from this promotion so I can spend it on myself. Equally, we might be thinking, well, I'll have more money to give away to gospel work. You see, our hearts are deceitful, and we just have to be cautious and careful. We have to be discerning. We have to ask God to help us see what's really on our hearts and what's on his heart. So if it isn't by instinct or by direct revelation, a booming voice from heaven, how is it that Jesus leads and guides us in paths of righteousness today, in ways that are pleasing to him? Well, I think J.I. Packer, who very recently passed away, great theologian, great thinker, is really helpful on this in his little book, God's Plan for Ye. He says, God's regular method of guidance is a combination of providence and instruction. God's regular method of guidance is a combination of providence and instruction. Now, providence, it means God puts us in certain situations and gives us certain experiences. He shapes who we are and the skills that we have so that we're in particular moments with the opportunity to make particular choices and with the skills to do them or not. And God's instruction means his word, the Bible. Him giving us a very clear steer and direction by his Holy Spirit, bringing those things to mind in the moment so that we can make choices which are informed by his word. And those are the kind of paths that Jesus wants to lead us on, righteous paths, paths that are informed by his word, that are pleasing to him. Which also means there are very clearly things that are out of bounds for the Christian, that God will never be leading us to do because they're forbidden in his word. I mean, a good first step when thinking about a particular action or choice is this. Is the course of action I'm planning to take clearly forbidden by God's word? If God has clearly said no to it in the Bible, then no matter how strongly we might feel called to it or led to a particular course of action, we can know with great certainty that this is not the Lord leading us down that path. For example, God will never call a husband to leave his wife for another woman. God will not be guiding you to start dating someone who isn't a believer if you're a Christian. God will never be leading you to steal or lie or cheat, even if you think there's some greater good that could be there as its end goal. Why? Because these are all things that go against God's expressed word in the scriptures. But there are many things that are not directly spoken about in the Bible. I would love it if there was a section of the Bible that we could turn to that gives really clear guidance on how a church should meet during a global pandemic. That would be wonderful. But it's just not there. Should Christians have televisions and smartphones? The Bible doesn't mention them. What are we to do with those? How much money should we give to charity? How much money should we save? On these matters and on so many other issues, there are no explicit concrete commands, but the Lord still leads and guides his vulnerable sheep. J.I. Packer, again, is helpful on this point. He says this: by his providential instruction, he gives you wisdom to see the right thing, the best thing, the most fruitful and the purest and noblest, the most Christ-like and God-honoring thing to do in each situation. And he motivates you towards that thing. By putting us in particular situations and circumstances, and by giving us his clear word, he helps us to discern the best, the most fruitful, the purest, and the noblest way forward, the most Christ-like and God-honoring thing to do. Now, more often than not, that is not by some kind of supernatural special revelation, but by the general principles that are laid out in the Bible. As he guides us, the voice of our good shepherd refreshes us. The very same voice that leads us to lie down in green pastures, verse 2, to be beside still waters, to find refreshment, is the same voice that guides us each day. So another good question, a helpful question to ask as we think about this, is there a course of action open to us that more obviously allows us to honour Jesus or serve his kingdom and his people? Is there a course of action that is it more obviously allows us to honour Jesus or serve his kingdom and his people? You see, as we think about that question, there are so many matters where we have freedom. Freedom to listen carefully to the wisdom of Scripture and to make a choice, knowing that although we will sometimes make unwise choices or even sinful choices, it's impossible for us to take a choice that is outside of God's sovereign plan. You see, even when we make a choice that leads us into a more difficult or challenging situation than we might have imagined, God is still leading us, and he will ultimately use it for our good and for his glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 famously says this: we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All of which means that today we may be feeling pretty confused and anxious by all that's going on around us. We may be fearful of the future, the potential economic impacts of COVID-19 on us or on our nation. We may be uncertain about how God would have us live in this season. But we can have great confidence that as we look to Jesus, as we keep listening to his voice, he will keep leading us and guiding us. And it will be for our ultimate good and for his glorious name's sake. Let me pray with those things in mind for us now. Heavenly Father, we do give you great thanks and praise that you are the one who restores us from the inside out, the one who comes and finds us when we wander away from you and brings us back to you. We praise you that even today, in the midst of the chaos all around us in our world, you are leading us and guiding us. Lord, may we know your leading and guiding in the coming days and weeks and months. Lord, help us to move out to love our neighbours as ourselves. Help us to love our city and help us to care for one another in ways which are pleasing to you and honouring to your most glorious name. Amen.